We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And one last obstacle that we must overcome to move forward together. Stop the fear-mongering and stop the hate. We may come from different places. We may pray in different ways. We may look different and love different, but we all live in the same country of shared dream.
Amy Klobuchar, during her announcement yesterday on Boom Island that she is running for president in 2020.
The Snow Globe announcement.
It's beautiful. Jordana and Paul, yeah. Dan Cook at the helm, thank you for spending some time with us on your drive home. And we hope it's okay. I mean, Paul, their drive home is going to be okay right now.
Yeah. Well, there are a few snow showers just north of the metro. But no, the main event doesn't come till late tonight, tomorrow, and it's not going to be that big a deal.
So we're going to talk about, yes, we'll talk a little weather later, but we're going to talk about Amy. We're going to talk about Ilhan. We are going to talk about why Netflix did not pay any federal or state income taxes on the $845 million they made last year. And then we're going to talk about if Pete Hegseth, Fox News host, washes his hands. It's a funny viral story that got a little out of control. So Amy, running for president, obviously big, big, big news yesterday. Today, folks are responding to it. Does she really have a chance at a national title? Folks in the New York Times say possibly if she is paired with another Democrat from Ohio, maybe that is a better option.
What about paired with Joe Biden?
That would be fantastic. Okay, which one's president, which one's vice president?
Well, Joe Biden would have to be the vice president.
I like that. I don't know that he would like that. Maybe he would, though. Maybe he would. He's a fun number, too.
I think his ego is under control. Yeah, again, a lot of people are writing off Senator Klobuchar right from the get-go.
Yeah.
But again, it wasn't that long ago. 3 years ago, a lot of people were writing off President Donald J. Trump.
That's
they were
true.
Writing him off. Oh, he's just a real estate tycoon. He's just a TV guy. There's no way. But Trump had this gift and continues to have a gift, which I use the term loosely, of making it all about himself, right? He sucks the oxygen out of the air for everybody else. The networks couldn't get enough of his theatrics, right? They kept a camera on him most of 2015 and 2016.
And of course, he was the topic of conversation when Amy Klobuchar went on Good Morning America to talk about her presidential run. So this is what she said about him tweeting about her.
By the end of her speech, she looked like a snowman woman. So you've got your name, nickname.
Snowwoman?
Snowwoman.
It could be so much worse.
And that was, of course, George Stephanopoulos asking Amy Klobuchar about the president's tweet, talking about her looking like a snowwoman. And by the way, it could have been worse. We've lived with President Trump. The nicknames get pretty brutal. And then, of course, she responded via Twitter.
What I said to him back was, I'd like to see, when he called me a snowwoman, I'd like to see how his hair would fare in a blizzard.
I am not hopeful that the conversation between the current president and our presidential hopeful continues to discuss hair.
You have a hair off? Yeah, forget debating the topics in policy. Let's just compare hair care products.
Right. Hopefully we can have higher level conversations. Man. But the question becomes, is she a viable candidate? You know, we know Amy. Her name recognition is huge here in Minnesota because we live in the snow globe. It's you. It's me. We're here. We live it. We breathe it. She's been our senator for 3 terms already. And we like her. We like the way she serves hot dish and is, you know, across the aisle. She tries to create bipartisan legislation. So she has had a golden run here in Minnesota.
And people say, well, you know, Minnesota candidates haven't generally done well on the national stage. Just because we like them doesn't mean it's going to play in Sheboygan, right? Whether it's Harold Stassen or Eugene McCarthy or Hubert Humphrey or Walter Mondale, it's a long list. even more recently, Tim Pawlenty, Michelle Bachmann, again, played very well here.
Right.
But something of a yawn on the national stage. But I would also have a PS by saying these are not conventional times. These are not
typical times. That is for sure.
And people are searching for viable options.
Doug wants to chime in on the conversation. Hey, Doug, thanks for the call.
Hi, Joel, Dana, and
Doug.
Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Doug.
I got two questions for you. Being a farmer, there's a lady who I do not like because she signed bills to support beef dairy products being imported from Canada. And I heard about her rhetoric about green. Now, why would you support bills to bring insecticides, herbicides, and chemicals, which are very dangerous to our environment, and sign these bills and protect, I call it, the pharma markets for our chemical programs, and you're talking green?
So you're saying it's hypocritical.
Well, I can go on.
Or contradictory.
On. And I want a person of action. This was politics I heard yesterday. Nothing that she said was factual except that she's a person running for the presidency of the United States. That I believe. Everything else was politics. And I can't stand this stuff. We need people who can have a spine, a backbone, and follow through what they say, but they won't tell.
Uh-oh. Oh. Doug, you there?
Can you hear me now?
Shoot. We did not cut him off. Something happened to his car phone. And as for factual yesterday, she was sort of just laying out what she'd like to do.
I think it was
more
aspirational. She said, right. At one point she said, today on this snowy day on this island, we say enough is enough. Our nation must be governed not from chaos, but from opportunity, not from what's wrong, but by marching toward what's right. And Jura, she said, in putting herself forward as the opposite of divisive, Senator Klobuchar emphasized the U.S. motto, E pluribus unum, out of many, one. And she said, it is more than a motto, America. It is the North Star of our democracy. It is the North Star of our effort. I'm asking you to join this campaign. It's a homegrown one. She talked about grit. So this will be the test of her grit.
Mm-hmm. Dan in Hopkins is joining us. Hey, Dan.
Hey, dear Dana.
Hey, Dan.
I know I need to be brief. I don't understand when I hear these politicians talk about hate speech, the hate speech. What in the world are they talking about? Who's talking about hating anybody? Sending people back to Mexico that are here illegally is not hate.
Well, you know,
insanity.
We've lived in a divided nation for quite some time. And
so where's the hate?
The rhetoric has been ratcheted up, I think, in recent years against immigrants, I think against Muslims.
Illegal immigrants.
We started it, you know, this administration with a Muslim ban. I mean, even today, we've had a lot of anti-Semitism in the news, which we're going to talk about in just a minute.
That's not from the Republican Party.
I think she's talking about it in general. I didn't hear her say hate speech from the Republicans. I think in general,
she was implying from Trump that he was being hateful. And I go, you can't. There's no foundation to that.
He did make fun of her hair, Dan. He did make fun of her hair.
Yeah, he hates her hair.
But I guess this was before her hair, so she didn't know that he was going to make fun of her hair. But Dan, thank you. We love the call. We always take your call, Dan. So continue to call in. Let's quick get Kevin in. Hey, Kevin, thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Good to have open dialogue and that. And, yeah, we're just kind of interested to hear about how some of this is going to get funded, the Green Revolution. That's all beautiful and good. Mm-hmm. As long as the people that are behind some of this stuff aren't moving and offshore to different countries, like, say, for example, maybe China, where we have huge trade imbalances to where they're not paying for this same green global initiative kind of thing. And, you know, it's all good as long as it's like the same for people like us that want to work and build things here. But if you can't be competitive, but it's always the same people that are running this stuff up that, you know, have their interests or their companies somewhere else to where it just doesn't work out.
So what I'm hearing you say is you're concerned about how the Green Deal and some of her new initiatives are going to get paid for, Kevin. Is that the gist of your call?
As long as we don't bear the whole brunt of it, and you go over to Beijing and you can't even see the, I mean, it's so, the water and the air is so contaminated.
Yeah,
I mean, it's incredible. And we just, and the same people that continually get reelected and telling us all this stuff and go to all the parties and have the suites at the Viking Stadium and all that, hey, you know, you guys and your company is going to be taxed, you know, X for this green initiative. Meanwhile, you know, all these other people, these globalists and that, and this George Soros creature that funds all these groups to get us all hating on each other, I don't know. I hope she can, like, maybe keep it real and, you know, it's not just one-sided.
Are you?
I think Kevin jumped the shark a little bit with the George Soros funding hate.
I was going to ask
push back on that. There's no evidence of that.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those talking points that keeps coming up.
Absolutely.
Right?
And there's no evidence of that. So, again, talking about what Dan was saying about the hate, we don't want to spread any hate on this show. So we're going to stick with, what do you think about Amy? We got a little off track there. And I just fear that because we're so Minnesota centric, you know, we lose sight of, I love Amy. I think she would be a good president, but we also want, you know, the best president. I think it's going to be a crowded field, so it'll be interesting to see who she starts to align with, and also what policy she's coming up with. She mentioned data privacy in her announcement, which was fascinating because we haven't heard a lot of people talk about data privacy so much, and that might be one of the cornerstones of her campaign, and I think that would get a lot of people's attention.
In Europe, again, we've talked about this with their privacy laws. Europe is 2 to 4 years ahead of the United States.
Right.
If you're a European, you can go off the grid. You can be, in essence, invisible. You don't have to identify yourself, and you don't have to make your data available. So we'll see. If is that going to resonate with a majority of Americans, or would most Americans prefer to continue talking about immigration and health care? Those are the top two. Right now, people want to talk about that. What's your solution? What are your ideas? I have no doubt that she has great ideas or has the potential to enunciate great ideas. Does she have the showmanship capabilities that the president has? Does she have the ability to keep the camera trained on her?
And do we even want that anymore?
You're saying we want substance over style?
A little quiet.
Quiet time? Do you need a nap, Georgina?
When we get back, no, I don't need a nap because we're going to talk about another Minnesota legislator that really got me fired up. Ilhan Omar really stepped in it with her tweet. She has apologized. So let's talk that next.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So you're saying she stepped in it.
I woke up to this one, and as I was reading Representative Ilhan Omar's comments, I struggle with this. I'm a Jewish American. I'm very proud of my faith. And I talk about it all the time on the radio. And anytime anti-Semitism rears its ugly head in the news, we try to shine a light on it. And it's especially hurtful when it comes from one of the representatives. She's in my district. And the fact that this is a thing is shocking and appalling, and it embarrasses me as a Minnesotan. And I condemned Ilhan Omar for her comments. Nancy Pelosi condemned. You'd be hard-pressed to find a legislator that did not condemn Ilhan Omar for her tweet.
I don't think she got much praise.
Let me give you a little bit of the backstory on this. Okay,
right.
On Sunday, Ilhan Omar responded to a tweet by journalist Glenn Greenwald that read, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy threatens punishment for Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib over their criticism of Israel. It's stunning how much time U.S. politician leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of Americans. So Omar replied to this tweet to Glenn, quote, "It's all about the Benjamins, baby," followed by some musical notes. It was a P. Diddy song. It was all about the Benjamins, and it's a line from a P. Diddy song, and it means it's all about the money. You could trace it all back to the money. Well, after that, in response to that tweet, an opinion editor at The Forward tweeted to Omar that said, "Would love to know who Ilhan Omar thinks is paying American politicians to be pro-Israel. I think I can guess, bad form, Congresswoman. That's the second anti-Semitic trope you've tweeted." And then Ilhan Omar responded, "APAC," which is the American-Israel Policy Action Conference. And Twitter went nuts, and rightfully so, Because when you accuse congresspeople of taking kickbacks, of taking bribes from an organization that doesn't even give, AIPAC does not give money to politicians. They are neutral because they have to support any administration to maintain the relationship that America has with Israel. When you accuse them of taking bribes, that's lies. That's not truth. It's lies. It's fake news. And it's wrong and it's ignorant. And it's anti-Semitic.
And that's what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said. She said anti-Semitism had to be called out without exception. These are Speaker Pelosi's words. Legitimate criticism of Israel's policies is protected by the values of free speech and democratic debate that the U.S. and Israel share.
Because Israel is a democracy, the only democracy in the Middle East.
That is
correct.
Remember that. But Congresswoman Omar's use of anti-Semitic tropes and prejudicial accusations about Israel's supporters is deeply offensive. We condemn these remarks. We call upon Congresswoman Omar to immediately apologize for these hurtful comments. And she did.
And she did. And then Representative Ilhan Omar did release an apology. And she said this: anti-Semitism is real. I am grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes, Omar said. She continued, my intention is never to offend my constituents, which she did, or Jewish Americans as a whole. We have to always be willing to step back and think through criticism, just as I expect people to hear me when others attack me for my identity. This is why I unequivocally apologize. At the same time, I reaffirm the problematic role of lobbyists in our politics, whether it be AIPAC, the NRA, or the fossil fuel industry. It's gone on too long, and we must be willing to address it. So while me, Jordana here, thought the first part was great, and I really respect the fact that she says, when I receive criticism, I'm going to step back and I'm going to look at it. She also says others have attacked her for her identity, so she should know better. If others have attacked you for your identity, you shouldn't attack other people for their identity. But then, once again, in my opinion, she showed her ignorance because she equivocated AIPAC with the NRA and the fossil fuel industry. The NRA and the fossil fuel industry fund politicians' campaigns. They give money directly to campaigns of people they want to win.
Or to PACs.
AIPAC does not. So, again, I was really disappointed in the end of this tweet, yet grateful that she said anti-Semitism is real, and I'm grateful for my Jewish allies and colleagues. Bottom line here, this is about education, Paul. Anti-Semitism is about baseless hatred and just being uneducated. And Representative Omar is a freshman congressperson, and she has a lot to learn. She has a lot to learn about the world. She came as a refugee when she was 12 here to the United States. I think she has a lot to learn about global politics. But she's a freshman, okay? And in her tweet, it says she's going to step back and think through criticism. I pray for her that her heart and her mind are opened to this criticism and to education and to truths that she may not have seen now.
There is a rise of anti-Semitism worldwide, which has been well documented, right? And so it's coming at a tough time, a time when we still have Holocaust deniers.
And we don't need to fuel this fire here for people that are supposed to be educated. So let's not do that. Let's speak truth to power when we see it and make sure people are educated about this and not let this stand. When you're on one side of the aisle, you don't let the other side of the aisle, you call out when you see something that is wrong. Well, when you're on the same side of the aisle, you also have to call out injustices, racism, hatred, anti-Semitism. And let's call it out all around. This is, I think, what Amy was saying, that she wants to call out hate when she sees it.
But what's amazing now, so much of the time we react to what somebody is saying on social media, right? It's no longer giving a press conference or a speech necessarily. It's a tweet or two that
words matter, Paul.
I understand that. Yeah, words are weapons.
Mm-hmm. And clearly they can come back and hit you the other way.
And
too.
We see that on both sides, right? Mm-hmm. And so
we do.
Yeah. All
right. Thank you for letting me vent about that. And yes, that is how I feel about that. Always happy to give you my opinion, especially when it comes to things that are near and dear to my heart, as, of course, the fight against anti-Semitism is. It's also 5:32, Paul. When we get back, this Netflix story is insane, and we got some clarity around it.
We did, yeah. How is it possible for a U.S. corporation that made $845 million in profit. That's net income after paying all the expenses, all the accountants, all the attorneys. They're left with $845 million in profit, and they paid zero federal or state tax. If we did that, we'd wind up in jail.
Yeah.
In most cases. But we got some clarity on that. We'll hear more next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Death and taxes. Right? The only
thing you can guarantee, death and taxes. And but, maybe at some point that you're going to throw your back out during your life. We can talk more about that tomorrow.
Yeah, you're just kind of a hot mess today. God,
threw my back out in yoga.
Yoga gone bad. What? A headstand?
Falling apart, kids. 46, falling apart.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Really? Going to complain about 46. Okay.
But death and taxes for most of us, unless you're freaking Netflix.
Unless you have really good accountants.
Yeah.
Or maybe
a few
loopholes to take advantage of.
Which are legal, but they're infuriating.
Sure. Well, again, we have the tax code is over 1,000 pages, and most of them are loopholes, right? Exceptions. So Netflix made $845 million last year. That was their net income. That was their profit after paying all the expenses. They were left with $845 million. But they did not pay a dime in federal or state income taxes. Not a dime, not one penny. In fact, according to ITEP, which is the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, and we talked to Matthew Gardner in the 3 o'clock hour, the company actually reported a $22 million federal income tax rebate. They got a rebate.
That's insane. I didn't even get any.
And I love Netflix, and they're doing a great job. And you know, we shouldn't be hating on companies that are doing well and employing people. But to pay zero federal income tax,
that infuriates us because we pay taxes. I owed some this year.
A little bit of a head scratching epidemic. But
how could this happen?
Right.
And that's what we asked Matt Gardner, who wrote a piece about this, did a video about it, to just kind of explain to us. He was on the show earlier today, and he's a tax expert, and this is what he said as to how could this happen.
Well, I think the short answer is the same way they did it before President Trump and Congress changed the tax laws. And that's the real headline to me. They used tax breaks for R&D credits, and there's a special tax break for companies that pay their executives in stock options. They used things that were completely legal that aren't very effective tax breaks and that should have been repealed as part of last year's tax bill.
And I asked him about that. I pressed him on that. I said, okay, should have been repealed, but were those campaign promises broken? Because the president promised that he was going to make our taxes better, that we were going to get more rebates. It was going to be simpler. It was going to be on a note card. Not really on a note card yet. But he said no. He said the president didn't say, I will close loopholes on giant corporations and make them pay more taxes. He said the tax promises were really for regular citizens who still pay their fair share. They weren't on large corporations. What was promised to the large corporations was not the closing of loopholes, but it was the lowering of the tax rate. And that was delivered.
So, because the corporate tax rate was high compared to most of the rest of the world, and which meant that a lot of companies that are multinational companies, global companies, kept their money not in the United States, but they kept it in Europe or Asia. Places with much lower corporate tax rates. Mm-hmm. So this dropped the corporate rate, 35 down to 21%?
Mm-hmm. In the hopes, of course, of bringing jobs back home, of bringing manufacturing and headquarters
and there have
back
been
home.
Some
and
jobs.
That's great.
Right. There have been some jobs, but much of the money that was repatriated by corporations went into buying back stock to their stock prices go up, make shareholders happy. So
that happened.
Yeah.
The fact is that the loophole didn't get closed, and it's probably not going to get closed. So my outrage is probably not going to get fixed. We did ask him what we should tell our legislators. Like, if, you know, Dean Phillips, in fact, we just talked to him about last week. He's got a campaign finance reform bill to repeal Citizens United and, you know, make it more transparent. Where is the money coming from? Who's giving more money? So we would be able to see who was funding a lot of these campaigns.
Because there's a lot of dark money. We don't know who's contributing money for these PACs, these ads.
Right. But so that's something that we talked about with Dean last week. But I said, how should we lobby our legislators? How should we talk to our legislators about how to ask for what we want? Because this is not illegal. But boy, I think that's not really so fair. Because the taxes then fall on the people. They fall on you and me.
Smaller
and
Dan. Businesses and individuals are still paying taxes. But some of the largest corporations, richest companies on earth, are not paying anything.
And look, I love capitalism. I support capitalism. But it seems that with the growing deficit, it seems like there's some money that maybe if we just tighten that loophole a little bit. No, Netflix isn't going to like it. We're still going to watch Netflix. But my goodness, come on, help a sister out.
What's the first thing you do, though? A successful business? You've got a profit. Maybe you're throwing off a few million dollars. You hire a lobbyist who represents your interests, who lobbies for your business, your industry, whether it's, you know, giving me a more runway to grow, increasing my odds of being successful, or maybe lowering my tax rates. And I get it. I mean, who doesn't want lower tax rates? Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, of course we'd all like to be paying less. But are you ready for no services, right? What happens to Social Security? What happens to a long list, you know, funding our military, infrastructure?
Well, with a $22 million deficit, some of that, a little bit of tax money from Netflix, I think could go a long way. I do. I don't think it should be on the American people alone or the small businesses alone to pay the federal and state income tax. But if you make income profit, then you should have to pay
you
a
think
tax.
People are going to shun Netflix because
no.
Last year they didn't pay any income tax?
Probably not. And while our lawmakers are getting lobbied by these corporations, some of them need to take a stand and say, okay, fine, after $500 million in revenue, then we're going to start taxing you. Make your money. Be a capitalist. Have a successful business. Please your shareholders. But contribute. Contribute. So folks like me aren't outraged and think that it's not so fair.
Most Americans have a pretty good concept of fairness, fair play, level playing field. We want a system that's fair. And that certainly comes to big corporations paying taxes. And Netflix is not alone.
No.
This ITEP report, 2017 ITEP report, identified Netflix Jor as one of 100 profitable Fortune 500 corporations that paid a 0% federal income tax rate in at least one profitable year between 2008 and 2015.
And I'm sure people out there are going, oh, we sound like socialists saying, well, at least I'm saying, that they should, you know, pay a fair share after a certain amount of revenue. But you got to be part of the solution at some point. Our deficit is rising and rising and rising. Our social services are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, even if you've paid into them. We're getting squeezed. Something has to be done about healthcare. I don't know that anybody except Netflix would disagree, or maybe you would, you know, in the freedom of business, with maybe a little bit of paying a little bit of tax to help out the country, line those federal coffers or state coffers a little bit.
They're still based here. I realize they're Netflix is a global company, but they still live here. They still the majority of their employees are here, so yeah, they should be paying for the upkeep, right?
So what we learned was not paying federal and state income tax on $145 million profit. I apologize. 800, correct. Thank you, Paul. $845 million is not illegal.
No. They just have good accountants, right? Who find every single loophole, every advantage.
It's not illegal. So
but
are we going to stand for that?
Just because it's legal doesn't make it fair. Doesn't make it right. But So again, how does this get litigated on Twitter?
Or
are people going to drop their subscriptions to Netflix? I don't think so.
And maybe that doesn't even have to happen. We just have to let our legislators know, hey, we know about this now. That's what this is about. It's about shining the light. I didn't know that before. I didn't know that Netflix wasn't paying any taxes. Now I know. Next time we have Dean on or Ilhan on or Amy on or any of our legislators, I'm going to say, hey, by the way, do you know about this? And can you help us out with that? Because I think we should use a little bit of their money to help pay for the greater good.
One of our listeners says unemployment is at an all-time low. That didn't happen by luck. Just maybe some of the profits were reinvested, putting more people back to work. Those new workers are now paying taxes. There's some truth to that. But many of these billion-dollar tech companies don't have thousands or hundreds of thousands of employees. They're machine revenue, taking it full advantage of computerization and automation. Doesn't take a lot of people. There aren't that many people
running these giant companies.
At Google compared to General Motors at the height of its power, you know, when General Motors was employing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. So I understand, yeah, there are more people paying taxes, individuals paying taxes. But wait a second. If a corporation is a person with Citizens United.
That's right. They can donate dark money.
And citizens pay taxes.
I like
right?
where you're going.
Why shouldn't corporations pay taxes if they're people?
I like it. Amen,
can't have
brother.
It both ways.
Amen. I like
Come
it.
Come on, Netflix.
Interesting stuff. So thanks for learning about that with us and appreciate your thoughts.
George, 5:49, Wixon Jewelers time. Turn your unwanted precious metal into cash. Wixon Jewelers pays top dollar for gold, platinum, and sterling silver. You know, when my youngest son, Brett, was little, he couldn't say Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
He referred to him as Melton.
Oh, cute.
Melton John.
So cute.
Oh, he's not melting, but okay.
So cute.
And these tickets are going to be in high demand.
Yes.
Elton John tickets. Dan Cook is here to explain to listeners how do you
get
these?
You got a chance if you go to WCCORadio.com. In the upper left-hand corner, there's a little line that says Join the Club. You click on that, enter your information, and what you're signing up for is the WCCO newsletter.
Right,
when
which
you
is
do
great.
That, you will get an email with a link to sign up for this quote-unquote secret contest that we're holding for Elton John tickets. Elton's coming later this month, I believe it is.
That's right.
So you got a chance to win a pair of tickets there. If you are already signed up for the newsletter, don't worry. You will also get the email with a chance to sign up for the contest. But you got to be signed up for the newsletter. WCCORadio.com, up in the upper left-hand corner. Click on Join the Club. You're all set.
And we're still not eligible, right?
No, you're not eligible.
I didn't think so.
But it's a win-win. I think this is a great idea because you're getting great information. It's a great newsletter. You're getting the great information and the option to win Elton John tickets. So WCCORadio.com. And by the way, if you missed any of the show, we had some pretty hot topics today and some good calls. Radio.com. You can always listen to the Paul and Jordana podcast. You know, we talked about Amy Klobuchar. We talked about Ilhan Omar. We talked about the Netflix story.
The
we
segment where you lost your mind temporarily.
Lost my mind.
Yeah.
We talked about how when you go to Target, the app says one price and you pull into the parking lot and then the app changes to another price because they're tracking your location.
It is kind of creepy. They know when you're in the parking lot, when you're lurking.
They're like Santa. They see you when you're sleeping. They know when you're awake.
Yeah. They know more. I think Google knows more about us than we know about ourselves.
For sure.
You do a lot of sleeping in Target parking lots, Jordana?
Yeah. She buried the lead. That's the headline.
I am at Target a lot. I have the three kids. I already have a list for going home. I already have that. We're not going to get to this Pete story. Oh, it's so unfortunate. Fox News host who says he doesn't wash his hands. But it was
because
all
he can't see the germs.
Yeah, they're not real if you can't see them. Coming up tomorrow, would you give up vacation time for a payoff on your student loans? Ponder that, and we'll see you back here at 3.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.